This is Tom Luongo.
This is Alex Craner.
This is Franco Terrazano.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough.
This is Joshua Allen, the Cowboy Preacher, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. Happy Monday. How's everybody doing today? I think you still have time to get involved in the S&P playoff bracket. Now, this is, I got to give a shout out to Peter Moran out of Manitoba for putting this on my plate. I got to give a shout out to Silver Gold Bull because we're going to have a little fun with some silver. Regardless, we got talking to Enda last week, and, you know, the Brothers Roundtables are starting up this week. So we went, we got a bunch of different things going on there. And one of them is a bracket challenge. So if you want to be a part of the bracket challenge, down in the show notes, I put it there. I also put it out on Substack, so maybe you've seen it. And to the people who get first through third, we're going to give out a silver coin. And to the person who gets dead last, we're going to give you a silver coin too. What the heck? We're going to have some fun with it. So if you haven't signed up, it's super easy. Like, just go pick who's going to win the series. Nice and easy. Bracket challenge. Nothing crazy. And all the details in the show notes. Password is SNP, and then click on the link. Password SNP. Get signed up. Pick your teams, and let's have a little bit of fun, shall we? Like, I feel like, yeah, this could be a lot of fun. And you can have a little fun winning a little bit of silver. Why not? Why not have a little bit of fun with it? Brothers Roundtable starting back up. Once again, if you're wanting to get into the precious metal game, Silver Gold Bull, they're my favorite precious metal dealer right here in Alberta, offering a full suite of services to help you buy, sell, and store your precious metals. And, you know, we're going to have a little bit of fun. A little bracket challenge, NHL bracket challenge. And we hope that you, wherever you're sitting there, will hop on, hear this, get involved before all the playoffs kick off and it's too late. And I apologize. This was brought to me at my attention right at the end of last week. And I'm like, holy crap, I better talk about this and we'll be better prepared next time around to give it its full runway so that we can get as many people involved as humanly possible. So if you aren't involved, this is probably just a nice, quick, easy way to get involved and have some fun. Either way, silvergoldbull.ca, that's where you can find all the good information when it comes to silver and gold. If you want to end on the bracket challenge, down the show notes, it's sitting there. For me, text or email Graham for details, not about the bracket challenge. He's not going to have any idea. He is going to have some idea on silver and gold. And if you just want to let him know, hey, thanks for supporting independent media, I would appreciate that as well. CalRock, your trusted partner in surplus oil field equipment, leading supplier of new, used, and reconditioned oil field production equipment in Canada. But that's not all. Tank fabrication, new and refurbished fluid storage tanks, trucking, pump jacks, and demolition. CalRock.ca for all your oil field needs. And I had a thought and it like literally just like that just disappeared. I don't know what's going on today, folks. Profit River, Clay Smiley, they specialize in importing firearms from the United States of America and pride themselves on making the process as easy for all their customers humanly possible. Jamie Sinclair was in this past week from the Military Roundtables. He stopped in and he said, man, that is quite the store. And if you have never been through, maybe the next time you're passing through Lloydminster, you should stop in and see the showroom as well. They're open Monday through Saturday. And if you can't get there, go to ProfitRiver.com. They are the major retailers of firearms, optics, and accessories, and they serve all of Canada. So it don't matter where you are. You can be a customer, go online, see what they're doing. Windsor Plywood, builders of the podcast studio table for everything wood. These are the guys. Deck season is upon us, folks. I feel like it's here. You know, the weather's trying to kick up some snow. That's just April. That's April being April, okay? Don't let it phase you. We have deck season back. And whether we're talking mantles, decks, windows, doors, sheds, podcast studio tables, Windsor Plywood. That's where to go. S&P presents Cornerstone Forum. We are just days away. Ooh. And we got two tickets left. Two. Count them. So why haven't you got your tickets yet? Down in the show notes, S&P Cornerstone Forum. It is not going to air on the podcast, so you have to be in person. We are going to professionally record it. We are going to put it behind a paywall after. So if you're sitting on the other side of Canada, don't let me blow too much smoke. There is going to be a way in the weeks coming to get to see the video and everything else. It just will not be on the podcast. So I hope to see you there. This is going to be something else here in Lloydminster, Cornerstone Forum, Sunday on the 28th, 9 a.m. at the Moose Lodge. We're going to do a Sunday service, Tanner Nadei, Cam Milliken, the Cowboy Preacher, all on stage. That should be fun as well. Okay, that's all I got for you today. Let's get on to that tale of the tape. She's a doctor of pharmacy and licensed pharmacist, naturopath, herbalist, nutritionist, and chef. She's the assistant professor in the integrative medicine department and graduate faculty at Nova Southeastern College of Pharmacy in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm talking about Dr. Lynn Lafferty. So buckle up. Here we go. Welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Lynn Lafferty. So thank you for hopping on.
Thank you for having me on today. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I know very little about you, which means I'm going to be shocked if my audience knows who Dr. Lynn Lafferty is. So why don't we start with a little bit of who you are and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm a PhD pharmacist. PharmD. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I'm a clinical nutritionist, and I'm an endowed professor at Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale, which is at the medical and pharmacy school I teach. I've put in many courses in what we call functional nutrition, herbal medicine, and wellness and nutrition and pharmacy practice. I also have a clinic where people come to me. A lot of them have been to Harvard, Johns Hopkins, and have been told I can't help you. So the way I was trained, I graduated in 1982. The way I was trained in school was to investigate things in the medical library. So my team of residents and students and I, we do that for every patient if it's something that we haven't heard of before, to find out what it is. My background, especially that's important, is I had a grandmother who had a 150-acre farm not too far from Canada. It was near the Great Lakes in New York State. And she also was part Native American, and she didn't believe in drugs. So when she was in a car accident, she and I were in a car accident when she was 80, and that was in 1980 because she was born in 1900. The doctor said she had less than 0.01% chance of making it out of surgery. But when they came out, they said, wow, she's got bones like a 50-year-old. Now, my grandmother actually didn't have electricity. And the funny thing was, my father was an electrical engineer at Motorola. And he was so excited when I was a little girl, probably I was about 10, and he went and said, oh, I've got a team of people. We're going to put electricity in your house. And she said, absolutely not. It disturbs the electrical current in my body and I don't want it. And I was on for many years the board of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. And we see a lot of patients who, if they have their heads near an electrical box, they have a lot of disturbances, a lot of mental problems, endocrine issues, all sorts of problems from being near an electrical box. So my grandmother was probably the best doctor and the smartest person I ever knew. When COVID came around, my grandmother also told me, we were by her elderberry trees near the creek, and she said that there was a flu or a disease. I don't think she told me it was the flu, but a disease that came around in 1920 and that all these people died, and that she had taken care of 20 people and no one died, and that none of our family actually got it. And she showed me because of the elderberries. So the very first thing when I was hearing coronavirus, I went to the medical library and I looked up, I put in elderberry, and actually in around 2016, outbreak of Corona SARS, the Middle Eastern edition, broke out, and they used elderberry extracted in alcohol. No one went to the hospital, no one died, and in 5 days it was gone. So I don't sell products or my appointments. I work at the university, so they make any money like that from those products. But what my boss allowed me to do is call our herbal company and have elderberry extracted in alcohol. I also pulled probably 50 studies about zinc and viruses. I already knew about that importance. And then vitamin D as well, I knew about. But actually, what I didn't know was that anybody that ever dies of any infection in the hospital, whether it's viral or bacterial or fungal, they're all vitamin D deficient. And you're from Canada. There was a great study that was done probably about 10 years ago that they took, I think it was in Toronto, one big hospital, and they gave them the vaccine, and the other they gave vitamin D for the flu. And it turned out that the vitamin D group actually had less flu. So I knew that vitamin D was very important. And then I use immune builders like mushrooms and animal tissues like spleen, which makes something called Tufsin that's very important to the immune system, desiccated adrenal, which is a pillar of the immune system, and desiccated thymus, which makes T killer cells that also kill the virus. So did all those things. I had very few patients. My regular patients didn't get it because I put them on all that at the beginning. The other patients that came to me, none of them went to the hospital. And usually in 3 days, they were ready to go back to, felt like getting up and working. So anyway, that's my story.
Okay. That was a lot. So I'm going to start here because, you know, I've heard a lot about vitamin D. But you know, sitting here in Canada, where, you know, depending on where you sit in Canada, but regardless, you know, we don't get a ton of sunlight, specifically where I'm at. So, you know, I've had lots of doctors come on to talk about, the importance of vitamin D. You mentioned, and I can't even rephrase it because I was just kind of like, oh, but essentially that we're all vitamin D deficient, especially probably up here in the north, correct?
Yeah.
And then by being vitamin D deficient, what comes with that are on the negative and should implore people to be like, get a vitamin D supplement, not yesterday, but like 2 weeks ago type mentality?
Yeah, and vitamin D is relatively very inexpensive too, so it doesn't cost you you know, as much as some of the herbal products do. Vitamin D, first of all, it helps absorb calcium. So you need calcium, which is the biggest mineral in the body, and calcium does many different things. But calcium itself is the igniter of the immune system. Also, of course, we know vitamin D and calcium are needed along with a lot of other things to make a bone. You will never make a bone, unfortunately, just taking vitamin D and calcium. You need actually a type of calcium that's called bone meal calcium because you need strontium and boron and vitamin K. There's a lot of things that you need to make a bone. And when you know, as a real naturopath, what we believe is if whatever the body's affected, you give that part of an animal tissue back to the body. So eating a lot of bone broth, you know, that's a big thing right now, or our boiling bones, or, you know, our grandmothers put a chicken with the bones and made chicken soup. You get a lot of immune factors and also factors to build bone out of those bones. Vitamin D also is an activator and helps the immune system as well. The vitamin D receptors are an integral part. Vitamin D actually looks a lot, well, it is. It's really a hormone. It should be, they call it a pro-hormone. It's got the same structure as a hormone. And, you know, cholesterol makes all of our hormones. That's the first step, and it goes into something called pregnenolone, and then goes into cortisol, aldosterone, and then all of our sex hormones. So cholesterol is in our skin because our skin is mostly fat. So cholesterol, it goes into vitamin D. So it's important to eat good fat and be able to absorb good fat because your skin is mostly fat. If you sunburn easily, it's because you don't have enough fat. So I usually recommend to people that are going to the beach or they, if they burn easily, to take some fish oils before they go so that they have some fatty acids in their system at the beach, and it works pretty well.
When you say not enough fat, you don't mean, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. You're saying like some big fat guy goes to the beach and burns, he's still fat, but you're saying two different types of fat, correct?
Well, there's, unfortunately, our fat has also been corrupted with trans fat. So I have to tell my students, when I was their age, there wasn't anybody under 70 that had type 2 diabetes. We had very little obesity. And one of the reasons for that is trans fat and high fructose corn syrup, which are man-made. So trans, if you took organic chemistry, there's cis and there's trans. Most in nature, we're eating cis fats and they're very kind of rounded, where a trans fat is very flat. And so it can corrupt your cell membrane because your cell membrane is made of fat, omega 3, 6, and 9, which is cholesterol. So that's probably the reason why, because it's so much trans fat that we have diabetes. And then trans fat, if it's corrupting your fat cells, it's not a type of fat that's going to help heal your skin and things like that. And we're also, we didn't see many skin cancers when I was a kid. I don't remember. I probably saw when I was in my 20s, when I was doing rounds, probably, I think I saw basal cell carcinoma, but we didn't see many skin cancers whatsoever. So all of this, in naturopathic medicine, so in allopathic regular medicine we have today, it's all about, oh, you need that antibiotic or whatever. But in naturopathic medicine, it's about the host. It's about me. It's about my nutrition and nutritional status and the physiology of my body. So we make a big mistake in regular medicine, cholesterol bad. Cholesterol isn't bad. It's the precursor to all your hormones. What we need to find out is, why is there not any cholesterol in my 65-year-old body, but over here, this person just had a heart attack because his blood vessels are blocked. What's the difference the way I eat and the way he eats, the way I exercise and the way he exercises, the supplements I take and the ones he doesn't take? That's the kind of things, because these biochemical reactions aren't working in his body as well as they are in mine.
You're speaking a whole bunch of stuff that I'm like, oh, this is interesting, because like it to me, it seems like there's, when you bring up the fact that there was no diabetes, there's no skin cancer, there was no on and on and on and on. Well, you seem like, the lady who doesn't just go, it's just kind of new. It's like, you must have looked into all these lovely things. I feel like I kind of partially know the answer, but when it comes to diabetes, when it comes to the different diseases that plague us now, what do you draw the line to? Like, what is the common denominator?
Well, and it's not, by the way, it isn't me. Everything I do is science-based. There's most of the time I'm going to the medical library. If you look in the medical library, in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is one of the three top journals in the United States, in 2002, it said there was an extra, at least at that time, 100,000 deaths from trans fat. Other countries like Austria have said, we can't afford trans fat in our food because it causes so many diseases. So we don't take the food from America because of that. We're self-insured, so we can't afford it. So, those types of things, it's in the medical. There's a plethora of articles saying that it doesn't say high fructose corn syrup. Unfortunately, this makes me very upset with diabetes. It says fructose causes diabetes in children. And the doctors must look at just that title and not know when they're reading the article, because they're talking about, they call it sugary drinks. That's not sugar at all. It's a man-made chemical called high fructose corn syrup. It starts with corn syrup, which is glucose, and they dump a bunch of different enzymes, and a third of it was found to have mercury in it in a study they did. So they know that these things are causing this. There's quite a few articles saying, look, you need to reevaluate the artificial sweeteners. Those are causing weight gain and diabetes. So, and doctors, they're not getting any of these messages whatsoever in their curriculum.
When you talk if I can just stick on high fructose corn syrup, where mm-hmm. would we find that in today's?
Every soda, regular soda, from Pepsi, Coca-Cola, 7-Up, all of the big corporate sodas, they all are high fructose corn syrup. Now, it seems like every gum, for whatever reason, gum that you chew, they're putting aspartame in it with the sugar, when they know that aspartame causes a lot of problems. So just about a lot of, I'll tell you a place, I couldn't even believe it. I was looking for sweet pickles, and I went into a regular grocery store instead of an organic grocery store, and I couldn't find a sweet pickle that didn't have high fructose corn syrup. Most commercial cereals have high fructose corn syrup. Most of the things they sweeten things with today are high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, we live in like North America is this strange place. You know, you go to like the supermarket, you go to the grocery store, and they got it all lined up now. So you got to walk by all the treats and on and on and on. And I always find that aisle so really, I don't know the word, strange maybe, because you're like, look at all this stuff. They're trying to get you to buy a whole bunch of junk that is absolute junk for your body. And every once in a while, it snares even this guy in. And I'm like, oh yeah, I could use a little bit of that. And, the disregard for people's health, I guess, in general, is at peak insanity right now, along with a whole bunch of other things. And you would, I guess in your background, you would see that over and over again.
Yeah, it's very disturbing because until we change the toxic load that people are assault under, and that includes putting these chemicals also in our food. So there's, you'll see red dye number 3. You don't know what that means. It means they made it in a chemical factory. It's made from chemicals. And, other things that are chemical names that you don't know what it is. So to me, if you can stay away from those, that's a really great thing that you can do, and grow a lot of your own things. You can grow a lot of herbs, and herbs are very healing to the body. Anybody can grow them, even in the winter in Canada, in a box in their windowsill,
I assume I know the answer to this, but why doesn't it change? If we all know obesity is on the rise, and a whole bunch of a list of different diseases are on the rise, the stats all show this. Why doesn't it change? Why aren't doctors going demanding, listen, this is a big giant problem, and maybe this is already happening.
Well, I think, and I'm not saying he changed the food supply, but, our president before this one, every second of every day, he had nothing positive whatsoever said about him. So, you've got the weight and the force of a lot of very, very, very powerful, wealthy conglomerates against you.
You're talking Trump? Is that what you were pointing to?
Yeah. You know, that he changed some things that they didn't like, and there was
what did he change? Sorry, once again, coming from a Canadian standpoint, I'm kind of curious. What did he change during his time that they were upset with?
The first thing he did when he went in, we have a law here, which I don't necessarily agree with because it actually is constitutionally wrong. But if you're a drug dealer worth so much money, they freeze all your assets, because at one time they were paying off juries and things like that. He took that law and said, if you're caught child trafficking or human trafficking, all your assets would be taken away from you. That was the first thing he did. It wasn't a law. It was a presidential signature. He lowered our taxes. He lowered the price of gas. He did a lot of different things that they didn't care. Plus, he went after a lot of people and wasn't really kind to
them. The first thing, I'm like, I'm waiting for the controversial thing of like, this is what Trump did. And the first thing he says, he said, if you child traffic, we're taking everything from you. That seems like a pretty, I think we all could get behind. But are you?
Depends if you're doing child trafficking or not. That would be that thing you
would. Well, for sure, for sure.
Behind it, right?
For sure.
The only one in the world that would be against it. So, okay, if you saw the studies on high fructose corn syrup and you saw that the diabetes rates went like this, who with any lick of common sense would want high fructose corn syrup in anything anymore? Okay. But you asked me the question, why is it still in there when these medical journals themselves are publishing these articles, big medical journals from famous people, it's, you know, at big universities and things are publishing some of these articles. So why haven't things changed? So I'm just explaining to you, change is very difficult when you have the powers for something, the ones that have the most money and whatever.
Yeah, no, for sure. The bureaucracy that surrounds the government, whether it's our country, your country, is very much similar. So I completely understand what you mean there. It surprised me when you said child trafficking. I was like, well, I mean, oh boy, isn't that in all over the media these days? You know, with first it was, and I there may have been things before this, forgive me folks, but Epstein, and then of course most recently Puff Daddy or P Diddy and everything coming out of there. When you say, well, except for the people that are child trafficking, it's like, yeah, well, you're not wrong, right? You're not wrong at all. You know, before we started recording, I should say, we were talking about it felt like you were telling me the managed decline of doctors. And that's not what you said. That's how my brain interpreted it, because you're saying, you know, there's things in the manuals being pulled out of people, doctors who are becoming doctors, and they're not having essentially different parts of the education of becoming a doctor in there. I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about that. And I don't know if I got it right on the managed decline, but that's what it felt like.
I've got goosebumps from that. That's such an amazing synopsis and such a great words to use. It's exactly what it is in my view as well. So I was showing you, let me just get these couple. Oops, hold on one second. For instance, this was our physiology. It's called medical physiology, and it teaches you how the body works. And so you would want your doctor, right, to know how the body works. Well, they took this out about 12 years ago out of the curriculum. And then here is a book that they used to use called the Physician Desk Reference, and it shows every drug and all the bad side effects and how to use it. And this one's from 1979. So I have a bunch of bookmarks because about 12 companies in there made digestive enzymes. Why did they make digestive enzymes? Because anybody 65 who goes to a ballpark and tries to eat two hot dogs and French fries, they'll tell you and they're not feeling very good, but they used to be able to do it when they're 20. And that's because your digestive enzymes, there's probably 50 medical studies that showed that as you age, you lose your digestive enzymes. So doesn't it make sense if you're having bloating and pain and reflux and those types of things to take digestive enzymes? There were something else in there was called bile salts. When you lost your gallbladder, everybody got bile salts, and that's a game changer for patients who have lost their gallbladder. But it also showed in medical literature, I went to write an article, I got so upset I had to stop, because if you took bile salts and you have stones, it'll help dissolve the stones so you don't have to get your gallbladder removed. And then also got the bile salts, and I still use this, lower cholesterol. Now, when I was in school, cholesterol was 270, not 200. And there's not really good evidence for that 200 number. The only real good evidence, the best evidence really, is having high HDL as a preventative for heart attack. All those products got taken off the market. Vitamins, there used to be a big line of prescription vitamins by Lilly, which was the biggest drug company when I was young. It's still a big company, but they don't make any of these products. They used to make all these animal tissue products, but all of their vitamins started with liver, and then maybe they would add some extra B1 to it or something like that. And why you want to use animal tissue vitamins is because the animals make it, especially in the liver, you'll find there's the vitamin that you use in your body. So when you take folic acid, let's say, you don't use folic acid in the body. You use something called tetrahydromethylfolate. And you have to, what we call methylate that folic acid. And if you don't, about 22% of Americans today cannot methylate. So they're going to have more inflammation in their body than somebody that can methylate. And it even shows they are more likely to get cancer and things if they take the folic acid because of not being able to make it into the proper form. So all of these things that people don't even realize because they took one chemical, just like they did with drugs, one chemical out and called it a vitamin. But really in nature, it doesn't show up as one thing. Like your vitamin C, there's a lot of bioflavonoids and other factors that show up with that. And the man that extracted ascorbic acid and called it vitamin C, well, he didn't, I don't know if he called it vitamin C, but he even said and wrote that it wouldn't be absorbed very well in the body because it doesn't have its bioflavonoids with it. So when you're taking a whole food, whether it's plant or animal, it's always going to be better than taking anything that comes from a chemical factory.
So even when you're talking vitamins, the best place to get it would be eating the whole food that it comes in. Than getting the distilled, you know, I don't know why I'm thinking vitamin C, but I'm thinking like the vitamin C pill or whatever.
Yeah, it may actually come from coal tar. It may not come from any food whatsoever when they make it because it's a chemical.
So if you're short or if you're wanting to get a vitamin, the best possible way then is from like
the cow liver is really the best way, or the organ. So each organ uses more of one type of vitamin or a mineral. So actually your adrenal glands make the most vitamin C. So that would be eating an adrenal gland would be good. So the vitamins I use, they do have adrenal gland in it for their vitamin C. They've got other things like buckwheat, which is very good for vitamin C and flavonoids. As a matter of fact, they used to have buckwheat pills called Rutin, and Harvard did all these studies how it prevents a heart attack, and it, if you have a heart attack, it'll prevent damage from it and all these other things, and they took that off the market as well.
Forgive me. I don't know the terminology. You said adrenal gland, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is an adrenal gland?
Well, adrenal gland is your whole energy center, and the old doctors back with Hippocrates knew that it was the center of the universe, and it really is, because the adrenal gland sits on top of your kidneys. So Chinese doctors will call it kidney cheese because it's on top of the kidney. But the adrenal gland does so many things. It stabilizes your blood sugar. It produces cortisol, which the chemical name for cortisol is cortisone. So all the zone drugs, maybe you took prednisone for inflammation, or you're asthmatic and you take fluconazone or betamethasone, all of those zone drugs come from the structure of your own cortisol or cortisone that's made in your body. And then they stick a fluoride on it over here, or a beta methyl group over there on the chemical structure. And then they make it into a drug that way. When your adrenal glands are low, you're more likely to get ill, because they're very tied also to your immune system. And that's very rarely in the books. Most doctors don't even know that. My doctor, when I was a kid, graduated from the University of Vienna in 1897. And when we got sick as kids, he'd give you adrenal shots. You could use to get them in an injection. And he would give us that, and he'd give us licorice tablets. And you'd actually beg to go get a shot from Dr. Trinka because you felt so good. And he knew that licorice is highly antimicrobial. It kills viruses. It kills coronavirus, H. pylori bacteria. So it kills a lot of different things. So he knew all of these things. That's what they learned, because there really were only two drugs at the end of 1800. So he knew all about the herbs and those types of things and what he used.
You gotta, I'm gonna sit here and stew on this, because I can't be the only one thinking about it. It sounds an awful like adrenochrome. And I assume they have nothing in common, but maybe they do. I don't know. Am I the only one? Listeners, when you hear me say that, I'd be curious if I'm the only one thinking it. Lynn's probably laughing at me like,
No. That comes, the adrenochrome, as they say, it comes out of the adrenals. So if you're taking a desiccated adrenal, everything that the adrenal gland makes will be in that pill. And I don't use humans. I use cows. So, but I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference, with, recovery time when somebody has a bad infection, especially when you age, because, you know, after 40, 45, women go through menopause, men go through andropause, our hormones are taking a deep dive. We're at the height of our career, so we're very stressed out. And that's the time that a lot of people get these, what they call autoimmune conditions, and other diseases are usually in the 45 to 65 range.
Let's go back to, you said they have all these great remedies. You were talking about different, basically journals, you know, like human history, they've been slowly compiling all these great ways to, you know, treat and get over things, and different ways, you know, when you have, you know, inflammation or whatever, you know, ailment, I guess, you have this long list of remedies that they are more and more moving away from the public eye and hiding away. And then on top of that, not teaching doctors about, and on this game goes. And certainly we know the big pharmaceutical companies make zero money off of a ton of that. And they're, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Profit driven is the term I was looking for. And so you go, but it's all just sitting there. When you get into conversations with people, doctors of like that kind of level, like they're like, oh yeah, Lynn, you're absolutely bang on. Or do they know nothing about this?
I've gotten in a lot of trouble at the medical school. I was brought in by a very brilliant old pharmacist who also had a doctorate. in education, but he was a very powerful politician, and he helped create our school actually many years ago. And he said, I want you to come in and teach the doctors and pharmacists about the old remedies because it's really important. And I'll say that women are a lot more accepting than men are of it. I think because we have our periods. So if you've got cramps or migraine headaches because of your period, you could care less if it's in a journal as long as something's safe. So one of the things that's so fabulous for that, for those out there that might be suffering from those conditions, is blackcurrant seed oil. So, it's totally safe and everything. So they don't really care if there's 12 journal articles published in a big journal. If it helps them, they'll take it. So they're a little bit less critical because they know they just want to feel good themselves. And we have a lot more health issues than men do too. So, and usually we're the ones that are responsible in the family for the health of our husbands and sons and daughters. So, the doctors there are more accepting. I got called in once. I was doing a wellness thing. And I said, well, we knew that, of course, looking at of Lipitor, we knew that that would cause diabetes. Well, this one man who has an MD, PhD, JD, which is a lawyer, and about 4 masters started screaming at me saying, you're supposed to take Lipitor for diabetes. So the next day I got called in to the dean of faculty at the medical school. He said, well, you're at it again. They have had 2 calls that you're lying. I go, what are you talking about? There's a big black box warning in the drug that says it causes diabetes in women. And I said, that was in Annals of Internal Medicine, May 2002. I said, how about this? How about I actually read journals and you should be worried about them because they don't. So he accepted that. I said, I'll get you the journals. I'll send you a package insert. Now, if you look at that package insert, this was about 10 years ago. If you look at that package insert, now they've hidden it. It's still in there, but they let them take the black box warning off from it, but it's still in there. And they try to diminish it. That kind of thing.
Do you, when you look at the future, like where we've head from 10 years ago, that story to now, when you look in the future, what do you see, Lynn? Like, you must be like amazingly disturbed. Well, I don't know. I won't put the words in your mouth. I guess when you look at where we're heading, where do you see us going?
Well, for me, I'm 65. I don't have many wrinkles. I don't take Botox. I can move my face. So, it's all about feeding the proper nutrition to your organs, and the skin is the biggest organ. My thing is this. I don't think at the rate of what things have been happening, we can sustain what we're doing. We can't sustain it. The pharmaceutical companies, they're not even coming up with new things themselves. Like I think there's one antibiotic, even though there's all this antibiotic resistance, there's one antibiotic in the pipeline. They mostly what they create are Me Too products that look like something else, and they just spend more marketing dollars on it. So I don't think that what we're doing can be sustainable. And I believe as people have woken up, and with coronavirus, Dr. Fauci didn't tell anybody until about a year and a half after coronavirus started that he was taking vitamin D, zinc, and vitamin C. So obviously he knows those studies and he didn't tell anybody. So I think that people are wanting to know the truth. And here there's a big movement. Of course, take care of yourself, try to get off the grid. And that's what I'm trying to do before, I go to my next life that I'm just trying to teach people what my grandmother taught me and what I know to help people, to help them save money, help them to empower themselves, and help them to learn things through reading the medical literature. Now, you don't have to read the whole study like I tell my patients or people that are in my class. I have a class. You don't have to go through the whole study. You can just read the abstract, and you'll get a lot of information from there. And if you don't get it, usually the first two paragraphs gives you probably the most information that you want to know. So it may look, because it's 20 pages and it has all these citations, and it might look too complicated for you, but it really isn't. Just get one page of this. Just print off the first page, and you should be able to learn a lot just from that.
Well, I know for myself speaking, there's so many studies that are written that, I don't know, they put you to sleep, right? Like they're thick. They got a lot in there. They love to use a whole bunch of terminologies and different things that, you know, I guess I'm probably not, it isn't common in my life, you know? And so there's lots of times when I start reading something, I'm like, oh man, this is, it feels like work, you know, even though it's very important.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They've created a different language. And one of the compliments I always get about my course is, and it is a gift. Even when I was a math tutor, when I was in the ninth grade, my math teacher said, would you tutor a couple of these kids in math? And they got A's on their tests. I always am able to break things down into the simplest form, and it can be something very complicated. And I just try to put it in a logic sequence that somebody can understand and make it easy to understand. It shouldn't be as complicated as it is. And it's really not that complicated. It's just that people are trying to make it mysterious or keep you from really understanding what's going on.
When, you know, when you think, like, with your grandmother, when you think about it, what was maybe one of the best pieces of information she helped with your, I don't know, education, life, outlook? Maybe there's not one, maybe there's multiple, I don't know.
I got so many things from my grandmother. Everybody thought she was the crazy one in the family. And every night, it's about, I thank her because I think she's sending me messages from above, because she was wise, so wise, you know. And I say, I knew her when I was older. You know, she died when I was about 25. So I just wish I had known her when I was an older person, and thank her today. You know, the first thing she'd do when we were kids, she would take us for a walk in the woods. And I was pretty hyper. Probably my brother was too. And, you know, now they call that Shinro Roku in Japanese. And they do all these studies on forest bathing, because all those terpenes and things off those trees that you get, those smells, actually calm your brain down a lot. So probably she knew, okay, time to go for a walk. We got to calm these kids down and go in the woods, take them in the woods and go for a walk. Another amazing thing, when you really think about it, that this is only, you know, 80 years ago, my dad had pneumonia. Now here they are, they're in a community of about 200 people when I was growing up. So they're probably, let's say, 100 people back then, and big farms, and, you know, people were miles from each other. And my father was not breathing. So they probably didn't have a car. If they had one, it probably went 30 miles an hour. And the hospital was probably in Buffalo, which was about 60 miles away. So they had no time to get my father anywhere. So my grandmother took a butcher knife. So he has a big gash. He had a big gash over here from her opening up the lung so he could breathe. So you think about, those are the kinds of things that people had to do back then. They weren't all Jayco certified and all of that, but they lived to tell about it. They didn't have infections and all these other things. So there's a lot to be said there and a lot of exploration to do just on that.
Well, you know, the level of, you really had to rely on yourself. You know, we come from an area of settlers, right? In the last, it's just been over, what is it now, folks? 118 years, roughly, somewhere in there, 19 years. It was right around 1905. I'm sure there's a bit of people before that, for sure. But regardless, I'm splitting hairs there. You know, so within a generation or two, you've got people that relied on themselves. And then, like you said, neighbors that were a mile or two down the road, because there was nobody else coming to help you, right? So you had to really be self-sufficient. You had to rely on yourself. And you think about today, how much we rely, I think about this a lot, you know, rely on the government to facilitate our lives for us, how much we lean on them. And then to hear, you know, well, that's not in the book and that's not in the book. And well, this is in all this, you know, the drinks and that's in there and this is killing you. And, you know, it you really realize how much we lean on them. But then on top of that, how much they really are just allowing a lot of nefarious stuff to go into our bodies or into our environments. You know, you talked right at the start. I found it fascinating that your grandmother didn't want electricity in her house. Well, I wonder what she would think now when you have the 5G towers going in everywhere, you have cell phones connected to everybody's body, you pretty much walk around with them. I mean, heck, we're doing this interview through, the use of Wi-Fi and different things like that. You got satellites going everywhere. Do you ever give that much thought?
Yeah, she'd be very upset, because I remember my mother must have given her some aspirin, because we'd stay there for a weekend. Because when we'd say, oh, we have a headache, can we have an aspirin? She'd say, they're sitting over there. I'm not even touching that stuff. You take it. So I'm sure she'd be really appalled. But where she lives, it's still very much country. So I don't think they have a cell tower near where she lived. So she probably wouldn't have known that much about it, except for the cell phone.
Where can people, if they want to find out more about you, Lynn, where can you direct them to? Where can people find your work, your classes, your thoughts, all that stuff?
So it's drlynnlafferty.com, drlynnlafferty.com. I have a big website. There's a lot of articles on there. There's a couple of really good free webinars or classes that I do with top doctors that I think are the best, that I rely on when I can't figure something out or we work together. The one I did on the immune system, she's in the book, 100 Best Doctors in America. She came back to school and took functional nutrition with me, and she really tries to mix the both types of medicine. She's a true integrative medicine specialist, even though she calls herself internal medicine. And then there's another one there where I have my former boss, who is from Canada. I learned more about medicine from her. She's in her 70s. And I told you earlier, one of the things about autoimmune diseases, we were talking about rheumatoid arthritis. And I was saying, if you go to Harvard or any of the websites, they'll say, we don't know what causes it. But if you go to Google Scholarly or go to the medical library, you'll find 350 studies in our database in America on it's caused by your gut bacteria, bad gut bacteria. And then it gets inflamed because your immune system is working on it, and then it leaks out. So, and it's interesting because some bacteria like your joints, some like your thyroid, some like your nerves in MS. So most autoimmune diseases, you'll find usually a viral or a bacterial cause of those things. And the natural antibiotics work very well on those. But my boss, when I was talking to her about it, she goes, oh, Lynn, she goes, she first got out, she was a pathologist in Toronto. And she said, we used to do punch biopsies on the nodules. She said, there's all sorts of bacteria down there rolling around. So she said, yeah, of course. So they want, what they're teaching in school is, we have no idea what causes it. Just block the immune system so it doesn't cause pain and inflammation. But when you're blocking the immune system, if you look at the black box warnings, then it'll say it causes cancer, all these types of infections, and even sudden death. So there's, with autoimmune diseases, most of the time, natural antibiotics, probiotics, changing your diet, taking adrenal desiccated, natural anti-inflammatories like turmeric and ginger, fish oils, those things, you can resolve these things pretty easy. Because when you think logically, what they're trying to make people believe, right? I had my first rheumatoid arthritis. Actually, she got diagnosed when she was 2. She had bleeding ulcers when she was 10 from prednisone. She had a tumor the size of a grapefruit from methotrexate and Humira. And she came to see me when she was 17. She could hardly walk. And she helped me actually get my job as well, because the doctor saw her 8 months after she saw me and said, what happened to you? And she said, oh, I don't have rheumatoid arthritis. See, I can do jumping jacks. And she said, well, will you and your doctor come and do grand rounds? Yeah, so we did grand rounds on it. But what they want you to believe is at age 2, one morning, her body woke up and said, you know, I don't like my joints. I think I'll just go attack myself. Now, the body never did this for, you know, I don't know, a million years. But all of a sudden, the body just is attacking itself. So it doesn't make any sense, because it's not true. The truth is, the immune system is trying to get rid of bacteria or viruses. And most autoimmune, not all, but most of them happen after andropause and menopause, because your endocrine system and your adrenal gland play a major, major role in the immune system. And when those go down, your immune system gets weaker, and it affords the opportunity for these things to happen. So the immune system being weaker, it keeps trying and trying to get rid of these things, but it's not strong enough to get rid of them. So you just have this constant inflammation, because the first step in the immune system is inflammation. So it just keeps trying and trying to ignite this fire, giving you inflammation and pain.
So when you have inflammation and pain, what you're pointing out, and I think we all, I shouldn't say we all know this, but they want to give you things to take away the pain. And what you're pointing out is, why don't you take away the things that are giving you inflammation? Like go to the root.
And I go to a clinic of osteopathic doctors who I think are just the best in the country, Dr. Joel Stein, and I work with them a day a week in the office of non-surgical orthopedics. And they don't want you to take like Aleve or Motrin or anything, even putting cold. We always learn put cold on it at first, because you need those factors. You do need that inflammation in the first step, right? You need that inflammation so all those factors will come in and start healing it. If we take away those factors, you're not getting the thing healed, and now you're under chronic inflammation. So I don't even, the first couple of days of having something, I don't even try to not do anything, even turmeric or ginger or anything. But turmeric and ginger are a lot safer and better than the others, and they work with your body better, because your body has a consciousness, and somehow the plants also have a consciousness, and the animal tissues, they can figure out what's going. This is going to sound so crazy, but it's true. They can figure out what's going on in your body, and they can adapt themselves. They're actually called, if you look it up, put adaptogen herbs. So they adapt. Like if you have too much stress, they lower stress. If you don't have enough stress and you're tired, you know, they can raise the energy in your body. So the plants can read what's going on and somehow they can adapt to it. It's so counter to what anything we've learned in regular medicine.
Would you suggest that people then take like a, I don't know, like a set list of like, you should be taking this daily? Or do you suggest that people find someone like yourself to, I don't know, have lack of a better thought, I guess, a physical to be like, listen, this is what you're short in. Like, what would you suggest to the regular person that's sitting there? They hear you, they go, this is interesting. But if I go talk to my regular, you know, family doctor, unless you got a great one, folks, chances are they're not going to talk to you about all this and probably don't even know half this stuff.
Remember, I told you they don't learn anything.
Right. So then, so what are your suggestions then to somebody who's sitting here and listening? So you, I mean, obviously they can go to your website. You're sitting in New York, I think. New York, correct?
No, I'm in Florida. State.
Oh, you're in Florida.
I do have a house in New York, but I spend my the university is in Florida.
In Florida. Okay, my apologies. So you're in Florida. So for the people sitting wherever they're at, if they wanna start to get to the bottom of their health, what would you suggest? Is it a list of you need to be taking these things, or is it like, no, you need to go start here so that you can start to uncover maybe what your body needs?
Yeah, you should take a whole food vitamin mineral supplement. I use something called Catalyn gluten free, Catalyn. And that's got all sorts of stuff in it, from wheat germ to cow liver to kidneys, whatever. You should take a good fish oil for your brain. It's anti-inflammatory. You want to have a good, I use something called Oprima EPA DHA, but I like the mix. EPA is more for cholesterol and more for lowering inflammation. And the DHA is probably one of the biggest, if you went to the medical literature, there's probably 5,000 studies or more pointing to how it enhances IQ, memory, cognitive functioning, all sorts of things. So those to me are the two musts. And you must have your vitamin D level up to 50 is a good place for your vitamin D to be. And then from there, if you're going to, if you've got osteopenia, you're older, and osteoporosis, you should be on some type of bone meal, calcium at least, and maybe some other things along that it takes to make a bone. Those things are all really important. And then everyone should be probably today on a probiotic, because 85% of the immune system is located in your gut, and most of it lies on those bacteria. They make the right pH. So one of the things my team of students and residents did once, we went through the medical literature and found, okay, what's the name of the bacteria that UC Davis says causes MS? And what's the name of the bacteria that causes thyroiditis? And what are the, you know, and what are all the names or several that cause rheumatoid arthritis possibly? So we went through all of those. And then we went to find what pH do those grow in? And what we found, so the pH of your stomach should be pH of 2, and your GI tract is 5.5 to about 6.3. And all of those bacteria actually grow in a very basic, like 7 and above is where they thrive. So the lactobacillus that's in most probiotics or yogurts, or we get raw milk down here, which is one of my favorite to heal the GI, but it's going to have a lot of good bacteria in it, or raw yogurt in particular. That's going to make the pH, the right pH in your gut. And that will stop a lot of autoimmune diseases, allergies, all sorts of things. Your stomach, as you age, about 50% of your stomach acid's gone. By 80, it's about 80%. So it's good that if you're, when you take a steak or a piece of protein, if you're getting bloating or reflux, you probably don't have enough acid. one of the things you can do, if you look around the world, different cultures do different things for this. So if you go eat Indian food, they give you yogurt dessert or a mango lassi with yogurt, which has got the lactobacillus, so you've got the acid. Or if you go to Korea, they have this flavored kind of syrup thing you can put in water that's vinegar. It's a vinegar product, the syrup. You know, if you go to Europe, they eat their vinegar or their lemon after dinner with their salads, usually are at the end of the meal. So there's different things you could do. One of the things we did, we learned in pharmacy school, and this, there weren't H2 blockers like Tagamet or Nexium, the proton pump inhibitor. Give yourself about a tablespoon of vinegar and about a half to a quarter to a half a cup of water after your meal. If that helps you digest your meal, you know you don't have enough stomach acid. Even if you have acid reflux, most of the time it's from not having enough acid. You have some and it starts breaking down, let's say your steak, but the steak's just sitting there. And so now it's refluxing up. Or if that doesn't help, take a half a teaspoon of baking soda and about a quarter cup of water and try that after your meal. And that's a really good, as we age, we lose our bicarb too. So sometimes we don't have enough stomach acid or bicarb usually. So those two things are very important.
Well, I appreciate you giving us some time today. You know, man, this side of things, never know who's going to hop on and what wisdom they're going to impart on us. But it's been a quick hour, to be honest. And I was chuckling, you know, I asked her folks before we started, I'm like, oh, what time do I got to let you out of here? And then I look up, I'm like, oh my God, I'm already hitting time. So I thank you so much, Lynn, for hopping on and doing this. And just a wealth of information you have when it comes to the human body and different things. And I appreciate you hopping on and doing this.
Thank you. You have a blessed day and keep doing what you're doing, Sean. You're doing a great job. I'm proud of you. Take care.